Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start my comments about the epistle text with a verse from 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, St. Paul says something that is particularly important for our subject today. He says this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit." All right, so it is the Spirit of God who is at work in the sacrament of holy baptism. And in the sacrament, we are all baptized into one body, the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. So therefore, what Paul is telling us is that every Christian believer baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is someone who has received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, Paul is expressing how mystified he is that the Galatians could have been misled by false teachers so soon after he had instructed them in the truth. He said, "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" And he goes on, he says, "Let me ask you one thing. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law, as the false teachers are saying, or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit of God by works, or did you receive it by believing in the gospel?" And of course, the answer to that question is by faith in the gospel. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God, we receive all the treasures of his saving work, and we are established as the children of God, redeemed in Christ the Messiah. Now, we come to the last section of the book of Galatians, where Paul has, up until this point, he has been hammering home that we are not saved by the works of the law. We are not saved by mingling the works of the law with faith, so that we are saved by a combination of faith and works. No, we are made right with God. We are saved purely by grace through faith in Christ alone, forgiven of all of our sins and gifted with the Holy Ghost, not by works, but by the gracious working of God for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. But then as he comes to the end of the chapter, at the end of this section, he switches into another mode of thought, and he says, "Now listen, you have been called to freedom. Only do not use freedom as an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another." So he says, you have in Christ been made free from sin. You have been made free from condemnation. You have been made free from eternal damnation. You have been freed to become the beloved children of God. And all of this as a pure gift. Don't use this gift to make your life a staging area for the works of the flesh, but rather in love, the same love by which Christ loved us, in love, serve one another. You see, so he's saying our free salvation in Christ does not mean that we are free to live in sin. Our free salvation in Christ means that we have been put right with God and now we are called to live as the children of God in this world. So we come to our epistle text and Paul says this. He says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So he's saying that you are to conduct your life in the guidance and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who has made you a new creature in Christ and who plants in your heart new movements and new desires so that you are no longer grudgingly stuck under the law, being forced to obey it against your own will. But now he has placed his law, his will, his loving kindness into your hearts. And now from a free spirit, you desire to do those things which are glorifying to God and beneficial to your neighbor. And he speaks of this as walking in the Spirit. All right, so walk in the Spirit. Conduct your life under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right, now, why do we have to be concerned with fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Because the moment you are baptized, you are enlisted in a war of the flesh against the Spirit. That's just the way it is. That's why we call the church on earth the church militant. That's why we sing songs like Onward Christian Soldiers and Fight the Good Fight and stand up for Jesus. We sing those songs because we realize that as long as we live in this world, we are engaged in a war. And that war is described in verse 17. He says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, with the result that you do not do the things that you would. In other words, as a Christian, you live in a world where right inside of your own self, there's a conflict going on. Two opposing powers are at work in you. On the one hand, the Spirit, with his gifts and his graces, is opposed to the flesh and its works. But at the same time, you still have the old Adam in you, and the old Adam in you desires against the Spirit to do the works of the flesh. And we feel our weakness in this going back and forth between these two things that are warring in our hearts. And sometimes we are doing pretty good, and sometimes not so much. So So Paul has a little bit of encouragement for us here. He says, listen, he says, you are engaged in a war, and sometimes the flesh presses really hard. And you are called to walk in the Spirit, that is, to walk according to the empowering and leading of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God. And he says, you need to understand and remember this always, because sometimes you are weak and sometimes you are strong. He says, you need to understand that if you are led of the Spirit, that is, if you are a believing Christian who is endeavoring with God's help to live a godly life, you are not under the law. That is, the law cannot condemn you. You see, what the law does to the sinner is the law reveals sin. But not content with that, the law threatens with punishment. And not content with that, the law describes the punishment in graphic detail. So the work of the law to the sinner is, you have sinned, and even when you try hard not to sin, you sin while you're trying not to, and you are guilty and under the judgment of God because of your sin, and you will most assuredly go to hell for eternity. All right? But as a Christian who has been united to Christ by faith, and who is in the grace of God, and who lives in the continuous forgiveness of sins by the grace of God, we are no longer under the law's condemnation. We have been freed, we have been forgiven, we have been established as the beloved children of God. And so we can continue in the battle. Despite our weaknesses and despite our frequent failings, we may continue to confess our sins, to receive absolution for our sins, and to continue in the life of faith, assured that God's grace and the Spirit's power will ultimately overcome the works of the flesh. So he goes on and he says, well, I don't want to assume that you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the works of the flesh. You know, as in those days when most of the Galatians came from pagan background, God only knows what they knew about anything, right? And that's the way it is in our modern American culture. You talk to a modern secular American person, you have no idea what on earth they know. Even if they've been a member of a church for 50 years, you have no idea what's going on in their heads. People are so capable of having crazy thoughts conflicting with one another in their minds, thinking that they are Christians but not having true saving faith in Christ. And so we must never assume that people know what we're talking about when we mention the works of the flesh. So he spells them out for us. And he says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are the things that our modern culture is built upon, right? Our whole modern culture is all about these things, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, or debauchery, low life, all right? That's the idea. And then he speaks about idolatry and witchcraft. So he talks about, on the one hand, sexual sins. Then he talks about religious sins, heathen religion and occultism. Okay? Heathen religion and occultism. These are the two non-Christian kinds of religion. And then he moves on and he says, he gives a nice long list of divisionary sins, the things that separate us and make us hostile to one another. He talks about hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, and murders. All of these stem from the same source. It is what we see as our culture is divided up into groups of people that mutually hate and distrust one another. And we're all not on the same team anymore. We're not all united under the same ideas and principles. We are all in our little tribes, and we are warring and hating against one another. These things ought not to be. And then he speaks also about drunkenness and revelings or carousings. And then he says, etc. He says, I could go on and on, but you get the picture. You get the picture. So now we know what Paul is talking about when he says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are what prompt us to do these things. Now, one more thing before we move on to happier thoughts, and that is this. He says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. So he says, I'm telling you beforehand, just like I've told you even before, they which are doing these things, that is, those who persist in them, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so he says here, he warns and he says, those who remain in unbelief and impenitence and do not forsake these sins and seek the forgiveness of their sins in Christ will most assuredly be lost forever. But, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, now he's going to talk about something entirely different. Notice that he contrasts the Spirit with the flesh in this way. The flesh produces works, but the Spirit bears fruit. You see, when you have been born anew unto the living hope of eternal salvation in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in your heart, he begins to produce fruit in your life that shows itself in your behavior. What are these fruits of the Spirit? He says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance or self-control. And then he says, there is no law against these things. So he contrasts for us the busy works of the flesh which lead to eternal damnation. And then he says, on the other hand, the Holy Spirit of God is producing fruit in the life of those who believe in Christ. And these fruit are the same characteristics that moved Jesus in his saving work for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And then he finishes up on a note of triumph and victory. All right, he says, all right, you are in a war, and there's no escaping it. All right, the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. But because you are a believer in Christ, you are not under the law, but you are thoroughly redeemed and forgiven, and therefore you are given the Spirit, and you live by the Spirit. And then he says one last thing. those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. He takes us and he points us to Jesus, who was crucified to redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he says that when you came to faith in baptism or in the preaching of the gospel, you were brought by the Spirit of God to faith. You then, when you believed in Jesus, you crucified the flesh. That is, you put the flesh to death and you became alive unto God through Jesus. And all of this was made possible because Jesus went to the cross and paid for all of your sins to be your Redeemer, and then he rose again from the dead so that you may be assured that his sacrifice on your behalf avails forever before God, and he who rose from the dead will also raise us again from the dead, and we shall have everlasting life. So by pointing back to Christ and his crucifixion, and pointing back to our baptism and the grace we received in it, and the change that was made in us in it, we are given confidence for the here and now, and assurance for the world to come. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.